Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad you tuned in today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I would invite you to take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we go through the study today. Or if you prefer, maybe you could take a pen and pencil and a piece of paper and jot down the Scriptures. Also, at the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving you information as far as how you can contact us by telephone or by mail, and also the address of our church and of the time of services. We'd love to have you come visit with us at Grace Bible Church, and we would love to hear from you concerning the broadcast. Also, if you would like to email us, you can email us through our website, which is understandingyourbible.com. That information will also be given to you at the end of the broadcast. We've been talking about in our Bible studies here of late about Paul's revelation. And the Apostle Paul's revelation is very important as far as understanding your Bible. That's the title of our program, Understanding Your Bible. And there are certain keys to understanding your Bible. And one of them is to understand that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. I have a chart here that we use each week. And on the chart, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but we have the scriptures outlined there, the books of the Bible, particularly the New Testament, as they appear in your Bible. Of course, there's the Old Testament. Then there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And then the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. Those are the books that the Apostle Paul wrote. And in those books, we have the revelation that God gave the Apostle Paul. And the reason that we're spending time on that revelation and talking about that revelation is because of the fact that it's through the revelation of the Apostle Paul that we have the truth for the church, the body of Christ, in the present dispensation in which we're living. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul preached the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that obviously is the revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave unto him. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ spent 3 years teaching and training the 12 to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And after his death, in the first part of Acts, we find that that's exactly what happened. Peter, James, John, the other apostles there, and Matthias, who replaced Judas, go about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That gospel includes Acts 2:38, which is repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But in Acts chapter 9, we find the salvation of Paul, at that time called Saul. And we find that in the books following, the 13 books following the book of Acts, we have Paul's revelation. That is, the writings of Paul, Romans through Philemon. And listen, there are certain truths that are revealed in Paul's writings that we find nowhere else in the Bible. There was a mystery, Paul said, that was made known by this revelation that was given him from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today, I want us to look in Romans chapter 1. We've been there on several previous studies. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we find a very important passage, and really the whole passage we're going to read is important, but it starts with the most important of all aspects of Paul's revelation, and that is the gospel. I just read over in Galatians chapter 1 where he said, "I certify you, brethren, the gospel which I received, I didn't receive it of man." And we know that that gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. The gospel is, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, concerning that gospel, Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we've talked about that righteousness in a previous lesson. And today I want us to notice verse 18 in particular, because it's there that Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Just as the truth of God concerning righteousness is revealed in the Scripture, we also find out some things about unrighteousness through the Scriptures and through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. I want you to understand today that there is a satanic religious system. Now, your church may not be part of that, but there is a system out there that today holds the truth. And when I say hold the truth, I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. When Jesus Christ was asked the question, what is truth? He said, thy Word is truth. And so the Word of God is the truth for today. Well, there are those that hold that truth in unrighteousness, the Bible says. Now, when we think about unrighteousness, probably most of us think about things that people do in the flesh as far as drinking alcoholic beverages, getting drunk, taking drugs, going to X-rated movies, smoking cigarettes, those kind of things. But I want you to see today that in the Scripture, unrighteousness generally has more to do with that which is spoken or that which is taught than that which is done. Now, I understand that people can do unrighteous acts, but I want you to see in the Bible what the Bible says about unrighteousness, because when the Bible talks about men holding the truth in unrighteousness, we need to understand what that is. You see, God's wrath is revealed, the Bible says, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Well, through the Scriptures, we understand that God's wrath is revealed, and it is revealed against those things. But what I want you to see and understand is that people today are not going to go to hell because of that which they do in their flesh. Christ died for our sins. But people go to hell because of what they refuse to believe, or what they believe that is in error. In Exodus chapter 23, we have the first mention there of the word unrighteousness. And it's interesting as we go through the Scriptures that you're going to see that this word unrighteousness is associated with that which is spoken, that which is taught. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible says, thou shalt not raise a false report, but put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. An unrighteous witness. Now, I want you to think about that. The unrighteous witness, over in Psalms 92, verse 15, the Bible says, to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. A man today that is preaching false doctrine is not a righteous man. Righteousness today has to do with that which is imputed by Jesus Christ. And our righteousness is based on our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 5 talks about the gift of righteousness and imputed righteousness. Well, unrighteousness, we find that there is no unrighteousness with the Lord. As a matter of fact, Paul addressed that in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, in verse 14, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So we see that the unrighteousness there in Exodus had to do with an unrighteous witness, the first time the word is used in the Bible. I want you to look back in the Old Testament with me today, and in Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah 10, verse 1, the Bible says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. Notice again how that the Bible uses the word in reference to something which is spoken, not necessarily that which is done. You see, what I want you to understand and see is that when men stand up on Sunday morning or Saturday morning or whenever it might be and proclaim things as though they were true that are not true, that lead people to believe those things and end up not believing the truth, end up having the wrath of God poured out on them someday, that is an unrighteous deed. Men who proclaim unrighteousness, they hold the truth unrighteousness. The Bible says God's wrath is revealed against those men who are walking in this ungodliness and this unrighteousness. So in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, we see that there are unrighteous decrees. And I want to tell you something. Much of that which is preached and taught today is unrighteous. There are unrighteous decrees going forth. Not everything. And the way we judge those things are by the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now notice, the wicked is to forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And so he says there, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's interesting there again that the word unrighteous is used in relation not to deeds, but to thoughts. And then over in John chapter 7, in John chapter 7, we once again see that unrighteousness is contrasted with truth. In John chapter 7, in verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking there, and he says, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Notice he's talking there about speaking. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Well, he said those that don't seek the glory or their own glory but speak of the Lord, he said there is no unrighteousness in them. In other words, the unrighteousness there is set in contrast to the truth that is spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over in Romans chapter 2, we see that this word unrighteousness is used in association with that which can be obeyed. In Romans chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness." Now, the truth has to do with that which is spoken. And in the context here, unrighteousness has to do also with that which is spoken, to the extent that the Lord says that people obey unrighteousness. And that's exactly what we have in much of religion today, in much of the religious world, where there are preachers who are teaching things that are not according to the Word of God rightly divided. They are not according to the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, you know, it's hard many times to find churches where they really study the Bible. I attended a church for years where that on Sunday morning the preacher got up, he read one verse of Scripture, and from then on out, he simply told stories. He went down an outline. He may have read a poem, but he rarely ever taught the Word of God. Well, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And listen, the only way that we as saved individuals can be fully equipped today to do the work that God has called us to do is through the teaching and the understanding of the Word of God. That's why we put so much emphasis on Paul's revelation, because it's through the revelation of the Apostle Paul that we see what the Lord Jesus Christ did in our behalf. We see who we are in Christ. We see what we are in Christ. We see what we have in Christ. And we understand that we're secure in Christ, and our salvation is based on what He did. That's all righteous truth. But there are those who preach that the work of Jesus Christ was not sufficient for your salvation. Oh, they might talk about His death, burial, and resurrection, but they say in order to be saved, you've got to join their church. In order to be saved, you've got to be baptized. In order to be saved, you've got to worship on a particular day, or something along those lines. But the truth is that in order to be saved, all a person has to do is believe the good news of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and simply trust Him as their sacrifice, as their substitute. But today there are many unrighteous decrees. There's unrighteous teaching. There's unrighteous doctrine that's out there. And the people in the religious world are flocking to that by the droves. And it's a sad thing. So what are we to do? We're to preach. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season." So the unrighteousness that God's wrath is revealed against in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, has to do with doctrine that is taught that misleads people. He said, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You see, there are many people who know the truth today, but they won't tell people the truth because of what it might cost them. The truth we find in the Word of God. And more specifically, the truth for today we find in Paul's writings in Romans through Philemon. Now, as I've said frequently, all the Bible is true. But the truth for us today is contained in Romans through Philemon. The doctrine whereby we walk today is in Romans through Philemon. And on future broadcasts, we'll be talking about some of those things that differ from Paul's doctrine to the 12 and those sort of things. But I want you to notice something else about the unrighteousness. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul there is talking to people. We probably need to go back to verse 1 because there's a common teaching among people today that is in error when it comes to what people that preach salvation by grace really teach. You see, at Grace Bible Church and on this broadcast, we preach salvation by grace through faith without the works of the law, without the works of the flesh. We try to show people that there is nothing that they can do in their flesh to make themselves acceptable to God. For by grace are you saved through faith. We teach people that joining the church, giving their heart to Jesus, inviting Jesus into their heart, being baptized, doing better, living a different life, quitting your sin, all those things, none of those things will bring salvation. Salvation is a belief. It is a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is putting all of your confidence in Him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and put no confidence in the flesh. And so the truth of the gospel has to do with the fact that we are saved by grace through faith without the works of the law, without the works of the flesh, and there is nothing we can do in the flesh to aid God in our salvation. He took care of that 2,000 years ago when His Son died on Calvary. So when you teach that kind of thing, people say, well, if you teach people that they're saved by grace and they can't lose their salvation, then you're just telling them that they can go out and live any way they want to. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul was confronted with that same type of doctrine. We know that because of Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice the answer. God forbid, he says. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, right divided, the truth of who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus does not motivate us to go out and commit sin and to live in sin. It motivates us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. The Bible says we are bought with a price and therefore we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit which are His. But what we do in our flesh as a result of salvation has nothing to do with getting saved or losing our salvation. It is the work that is associated with being saved. So Paul was confronted with this issue of, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer was, God forbid. But as he writes Romans chapter 6, he tells us about what we have in Christ and who we are in Christ. And down in verse 13, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, your members there has to do with your fleshly body. So what is Paul saying? He says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. You know, he told the Corinthians concerning a religious system that was very prominent there in Corinth. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There at Corinth, there were saved people who had said that they were saved. They said they believed the gospel of Christ. They received Christ their Savior. But they were still going over to the pagan temple and having fellowship with those people. And Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Well, you know, every saved individual needs to evaluate the church that they're a part of and the church that they're supporting to see if it is an unrighteous system that they're a part of. Paul said, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Well, notice how we do that. Look in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now notice verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. In other words, what was it that caused these people to turn from being servants of sin to being servants of the Lord? Well, it was a form of doctrine, and that doctrine came from the Apostle Paul. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "The things that thou hast heard of me, commit to faithful men that they might be able to teach others also." The form of doctrine there in verse 17 has to do with a body of truth that causes people to see and understand who they are and what they are in Christ, and that becomes the motivation for service and for yielding their members as instruments of righteousness rather than instruments of unrighteousness. You see, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I was talking about this a moment, but let's look at the passage and see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there is a system of unrighteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14, Paul said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" So Paul says, there is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no fellowship between darkness and light. There's no fellowship between truth and a lie. They're not the same. They are different, and they're to be distinguished as different, and there's to be an understanding that our righteousness is that which we have in Christ, and we are to put away unrighteousness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see there a truth concerning why people end up having the wrath of God poured out upon them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul is talking there about the end days, and he's talking about the coming of the Antichrist, and he says when that happens, he's going to come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Notice, with all deceivableness of unrighteous. Well, how do you deceive people? By what you say. The unrighteousness deceives. And it says, in them that perish, because what? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Every person today that is lost and on their way to hell is lost because they have received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's not because they do bad things that they're lost. It's not because they don't go to church. It's not because they don't give their money. It's because they receive not the love of the truth. What is that truth? It is the truth of the gospel. The truth of how Christ died for us and paid for our sins, and how we can be saved by trusting Him and Him alone. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I mentioned in the beginning today that there is a satanic religious system. Now, whether your church is part of that or whether you're part of that, I do not know. I can simply tell you that if your church is preaching salvation by works, if your church is teaching that people have to do things in order to be saved or remain saved, according to Philippians chapter 3, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And I would encourage you to study the Scriptures. Consider what Paul said, as he told Timothy to do. He said, "Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." And so I would ask that you consider what the Bible says. You know, I grew up in a church, and I just believed what that church believed for years. And I came to find out that most of it was according to tradition of men. It wasn't according to the Scriptures. I was taught a lot of do's and don'ts that I can't find in the Bible. And so my encouragement to you, as far as understanding your Bible, is to study your Bible. You're not going to understand it unless you study it. But there is a religious system in the world that is trying to blind the minds of people lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. He says, "For such are false apostles. The Lord has His apostles, the devil has his. Deceitful workers." Notice the deceit there. "Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." In other words, people look at them and they believe they're the apostles of Christ, but they're really not. Oh, they may look religious. They might talk religious. They might use a lot of Scripture. They might carry a Bible around with them, but they're not teaching the truth of the Word of God as far as salvation by grace through faith. And he says in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Isn't it interesting today how many people talk about seeing the light and how they talk about a special revelation. Well, listen, you don't need any special revelation. God Almighty has given you all the revelation you need in the Word of God. And he goes on to say there in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's ministers of verse 14. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works. You see, what Paul is saying there is that these unrighteous satanic ministers are transformed in the minds of people as though they were the apostles of Christ and the apostles of righteousness, while all the time they're preaching unrighteous doctrine. In closing, let me just ask you to consider the things that have been said today, and I want to ask you, if the system that you're a part of, if the church you attend, if the doctrine you've been taught, is it doctrine that is according to the Word of God rightly divided, or is it after the traditions of men? Unrighteousness has to do not only with deeds that people perform, but that which comes out of their mouth, and the Bible says that there are unrighteous witnesses. I want you to be sure, above everything else, that you know for sure that you're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day. And God Almighty will save you for Christ's sake.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.